Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our reading from the Hebrew Bible this evening comes from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and right with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our gospel reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as we get started tonight, I want to do kind of a little mental exercise. Don't worry, I'm not going to make anybody answer questions or anything like that. But if closing your eyes helps you picture things, I'm going to suggest you do that, because I'm going to ask that everybody try and conjure up in your mind pictures of Jesus, the images that you may have seen of Jesus in the past. I know that for me personally, the first picture that comes to mind comes from my home church. I think it's now stored in like the historical room of our church. And it's this picture of Jesus looking wistfully off into a corner. He's got straight brown hair and blue eyes, probably not the most accurate picture of Jesus, but that's the one that jumps into my head. What also may have jumped into your head is one of those pictures of Jesus where he's holding his hand kind of like this and has another hand like this, and he's got the glowing heart in the middle, a very radiant image of our Savior. You may also have in your head pictures of Jesus from different works of art, maybe one where he is doing a sermon like the Sermon on the Mount image, or maybe one where he's healing. You may have even had the picture of him at his resurrection or even on the cross. Very powerful images of Jesus. He tends to have a lot of power when we picture him in that way. Now, I want us all to take a moment, just another moment, just one more, to picture Jesus as a baby. Think of the pictures you've seen of Jesus as a baby, the different ways you've seen that portrayed. I know that for me personally, the things that jump into my mind are the baby Jesus, of course, and like, you know, the nativity scenes, a very clean-cut image of a baby that seems to be resting very peacefully, or maybe some of those images and paintings of Jesus and Mary together, where Jesus has the little halo around his head. Still a pretty powerful, holy image. There's something special about this baby, something otherworldly. We even get some of this in our carols. If you were at our carol class this last Sunday, we talked about how in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, verse 2, we get a weird picture of a baby. The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. That's not normally what happens in the birth process. From what I've heard, it's kind of a lot for the baby and for the mother to go through. But we get this weird otherworldly version of Jesus, and I think that that's something that the Luke narrative is kind of countering or being the opposite of. You see, the Luke narrative reminds us of the humanity of Jesus. It's so cut and dry, at least this part. We'll get to the more fantastical elements later in our service, but this portion that talks about the birth is pretty basic. It's actually lacking in a lot of detail. I saw a post, I think honestly, on Facebook from another pastor. She mentioned that you can tell Luke was written by a man because the birth narrative says so little about what happened in that process. It's unlikely that Mary and Joseph were alone as she gave birth. They probably had someone to help them. We think that the stable may have actually been owned by a family friend or something. Hopefully they wouldn't have just left this poor pregnant woman out there with her husband trying to figure this out. Most likely there were other people around, and it probably wasn't this clean, clear-cut thing. Jesus probably wasn't super quiet when he first was born, because Jesus was a human being. That's the miracle of Christmas, right? That's the miracle that we actually are celebrating today. Jesus had been God forever. We do believe that. But Christmas is that time where Jesus, and therefore God too, becomes human. That's really important. Jesus becoming a human changes everything. Like, this human moment changes everything. One, this means that we have a God, and I've talked about this before, but I'm going to say it again because I think it's important. Jesus becomes means that we have a God that knows what it's like to literally be one of us. We have a God that has been a human being. We have a God that has gone from the only self-sufficient being in existence, the only being that doesn't need other people to survive, to a baby that needs his mother and father in order to make it to the very next day. We have a being that spoke through all of the prophets who now can't talk at all. We have a being that literally, you know, could do anything that now can't walk. Because Jesus was a human. Like, that's a literal human. Yes, Jesus also was God, but also fully, fully human. This means God was willing to give up all of that power and all of that difference in order to save us. God knew that we weren't going to be able to figure it out ourselves. And so instead of just trying to direct from above, God became one of us to lead from within the group. Jesus offers us the ultimate example of what kind of lives we ought to lead, and gives us that example up until the moment where he dies, simply to save us, simply to reveal the level of dedication we should have for our fellow people. And God could have done this with any person, but God chose to become a person who was part of an oppressed people group with little money that would eventually need to run away quickly, that was going to be born to a family that, according to what we just read, wasn't married yet. This was not setting God up for success in life in ancient Israel. This was going to be a struggle. But this also means that we don't really have an excuse to not be like Jesus either. Because if Jesus was able to be the great person that Jesus was, yes, while being God, so we probably won't be able to do all the miracles and stuff. We might not be able to cure disease without medicine. We can do it that way. Or cast out demons or do some of the other stuff. But the things that Jesus told people to do and the way he lived his life are things that he did as a human. Through Jesus, we are shown that we do have the ability to live lives that are wonderful for the people around us. We do have the ability to be with the people around us and to keep them, to help them to be better, to help them to get into better places. That there isn't something holding us back. We aren't forced to live a way that hurts others around us. The miracle that I see tonight is that we have God that has been one of us, that revealed God's self to us in a way that is different from any other thing that could have possibly have been. This is where we learn everything we can about God, because we see what God would do if God was a human. We have a God that is willing to become vulnerable and mortal in order to save us from ourselves. And we have a God that was willing to be a baby. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.